I'm not very good at staying alive, guys.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Tabletop Champions. I'm Lauren, your Dungeon Master, and with me tonight we have Stephanie, who plays Hey You.
Ahoy hoy!
Kyle, who plays Darius.
Taco Bell.
Ben, who plays Karn.
Hi.
And Matt, who plays Dorian.
What? 1 foot into the grave.
Nice. Who wants to recap what happened last time? Who remembers?
I remember because I wrote down some notes.
Look at you go.
But also because it was a super exciting episode that you could never forget, Lauren.
I love you. Don't feed my ego.
Give her all the affirmations.
So I seem to remember that everyone on the ship did a great job. You know, being people on a ship again, there weren't any problems at all.
That's a lie, but keep going.
We're definitely not lost in the middle of the ocean somewhere. But you know, we may have been knocked off course after a ship attacked us because everything got super foggy and they showed up and hit us with a harpoon and were going to like pull themselves up to us. We loaded all the cannons, we're trying to shoot back at them, and Heyu and Dorian blew up their cannon.
It was Heyu that blew up the cannon.
It's a group effort.
Wow. Didn't know we were going to play the blame game, Matthew, but here we are.
The amount of times I have to use cure wounds on you, you're getting blamed.
No, I and team... Anyway, I don't even know if that makes sense. Continue, Ben.
But we ended up using the secret weapon that we had on the ship, which was a weird stone ballista looking thingy with some glowing pink runes on it. And we fired it at the other enemy ship just as they were like about to start trying to board us. And then it just stopped?
Because the harpoon went off.
Yeah. Because we shot it and everybody on the ship like disappeared, I think?
No. So you shot this magical harpoon and it didn't necessarily shoot a bolt, like a harpoon bolt.
Yeah, it was like a magic.
Yeah, it was like a magical thingy. Bolt. Mm-hmm. And whenever it hit the ship, it completely stopped everything on that ship. Everything that seemed to be magical, and that is what you noticed on that.
So they're just like the people who we could see on the ship are just like standing still.
They kind of got knocked down.
Okay.
They're more focused. Yeah. So we could pick up there. So after the bolt had gone off, Grunk was hooked up to the machine itself. It seemed to take a little bit of her energy. And so she's passed out on the deck. Not sure if she's alive or passed out. But as you guys are looking over at the other ship, you can see that people are kind of knocked down. They're grumbling. They're trying to pick themselves back up. And go ahead and roll me perception checks if you're looking at that boat.
Okay.
I think we all are, yeah?
Woot, 27.
Nice.
Crushed it.
Oh, 7. I crit 19.
Oh my god.
Wow. Spicy. Okay, yeah. So, and Darius, are you going to do a perception on the boat, or are you too focused on Grung?
I'm very focused on Gronk. I think I'm probably just going to stick with Gronk.
Fair. Okay, cool.
But when in doubt, Gronk. Always Gronk.
Forever Gronk. Got it. Cool. So, hey, you're so distracted by everything. You're so focused on Otis. no longer with you. That you kind of like look over to see what's happening with the other boat, but you can't really tell. Karn and Dorian, you do see that their ship has completely stopped. It's cackling with electrical energy around the helm of the boat. And it seems to be the energy that has resided or that has been shot at them that has came from your boat. So whatever this weapon was, it's completely taken them out. And your ship is slowly toting along and getting further and further away from them. You do see a name on the boat. You do see that the name Broken Scream is etched into the boat across from you guys as you are sailing away. People are slowly getting up. There's a few panicked shouts and people are running over to where you saw where Dorian, where that wizard had counter or something had counterspelled your one of your spells. There seems to be a little bit of panic there, but at this point you guys have drifted far away and are leaving them behind. This fog has dissipated, but you guys are moving slowly. So you're not quite sure what that did, but you're free, seemingly.
Is anybody dead or near dead? So like, that's all I yell out because I'm assuming there's some people that need some help.
Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
No, that's it. I was just saying I think I'm okay. I was just double checking my character sheet because I honestly didn't remember.
Yeah, I think the only one who took damage was you and
Hey you.
Hey you.
Wait a minute.
And whatever.
Otis.
Whatever
Otis took a hell of a hit.
I'm not gonna heal Otis.
Dang you.
Actually,
save
I think
my friend.
I would think actually my type of healing would actually hurt Otis. Actually, here, give me Otis.
You know what? Yeah, go fucking for it. What worse can he be than a bag of bones? Like, oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe they can turn to dust. Never mind. No. I'm okay. Thanks.
Yeah, you can do something with bones.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, he crushes them. Like, I definitely will lose Otis forever, and that will make me so sad.
Super sad.
So sad, guys. So sad.
And the only other person that might need some help is Grom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's eventually what happens is like go to Grom. He's like, need any help? Or he's like, what the hell just happened?
Captain Zeph is quickly making his way down. Go ahead and roll, I believe it's a medicine check.
Yes.
Yeah, medicine. Roll that for me, please.
11? Really?
11. Okay. No, that's fine. It's okay. You're good. You do get something. She's breathing. She's alive.
That's a plus.
But just a little knocked out.
Well, obviously she needs some bed rest. Who wants to carry her?
Captain Zeph at this point goes, is she alive? Is she alive?
She's breathing.
That's good. I was afraid that didn't work, and then that would be even worse.
What the hell was that?
Well, let's get her back to her bed, and I'll explain everything, okay?
Okay, I'm not exactly the strongest person. Who wants to carry her?
I could do that.
That was so quick.
Yes, you look strong and capable of doing it. Please carry her.
I am. I will.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Thirsty.
Listen, yeah. You asked. I've been waiting.
For this moment.
Now's your time, Kyle.
It's your time. It is time.
All you got in this life is opportunity. If you don't take it, what's the fucking point?
That's fair.
Darius, you have to unattach part, like pull her out of the harness pieces and undo some of the straps on it. But you're able to easily lift her, and Captain Zeph will lead you to her chambers.
Okay.
Hey, before you go too far, do we need to do anything about the boat over there?
He turns and he looks. You're pointing at the this broken scream.
Yeah.
They'll be incapacitated for a little while. We're fine. We're in the clear as long as we can get some wind under our sails and a little bit further away.
Shouldn't we, like, you know, like, sink the boat?
I mean, if you really want to, but I don't want to stick around long enough for them to, recover.
I see your point.
Yeah. I'm not going to stop you if you do it, but I'd like to put some distance between us.
Yeah, we've only got one cannon left at the moment, so probably want to hold on to that if we can.
Yeah.
And we've taken some damage, and I think that we need to focus on that. So yeah, absolutely. Okay. The rest of the crew, the remainder of the crew, they start actually starting to make repairs on the boat itself. And Captain Zeff leads you to Grunk's room. You're able to easily take her in and tuck her into bed. Nice and cozy. If you so desire, I don't fucking know.
I don't know how much tucking I'm doing, but yeah, I'm as gentle as reasonable.
Gently feed her some pocket bacon.
Oh, I totally forgot about the pocket bacon.
Oh my god, it's true.
This is not the time for that, but thank you for the reminder.
God, can you imagine all like the grease like that's building, that's just soaking into the pants?
It's picking up lint. It's extra flavoring.
I mean, Darius is in a lot of like leather type, you know, outfits. I'm assuming it's like in a leather like apron he wears because he's that kind of person.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. I'm sure it's fucking greasy in there in a different gross kind of way anyway. It's fine. All right. I leave.
Yeah. While you're doing that, Captain Zeff is kind of like hovering of like behind you to make sure everything's okay and does like a little, you know, check on her of his own volition. And he goes, okay. Let's get some drinks, shall we? We survived pirate attack. I think that's the cause for a celebration a little, yeah? And then I'll give you a story, I promise.
Okay. I can go for some coffee.
And he'll lead you guys to the kitchen. Start pouring some drinks. There is some coffee. It's a little cold. It's like room temperature, I guess. But you do have coffee, if you so desire.
I do desire
coffee.
Perfect. And he'll actually pour out ale for anyone who wants it. And he sits in the biggest chair in the kitchen. His feet are dangling. And he starts kind of kicking them a little bit as he drinks. Okay. What did you want to know again? I don't remember.
What was that? Like the whole...
My little weapon?
Yeah.
Okay. Long ago... There was a old dwarven forge rumored to actually be underneath this very city we left. The forge was magnificent in every manner. You could make magical weapons. You could make magical armors, protections, anything that your mind could possibly think of. The world's greatest crafters gathered there and made incredible things. Alas, one day the gods got jealous. They got scared. Because the magic that was coming from the Everforge was powerful enough to potentially take them down. And so they cursed it, struck it from the face of the world, erased it from history. But a few pieces remain alive. And what I have, one of those pieces, it's called the Heartstopper. You see, this is used only in very important emergencies, such as the pirate ship. The Broken Scream is a very well-renowned pirate ship out here that runs primarily off magic. And the Heartstopper, well, it stops magic. Completely shuts it down. It works more in an area of effect, but it comes at a high cost. And Grunk understands that cost and paid it today, and that is why she will probably be sleeping for the duration of our trip. Now, any other questions?
Now, it's not going to kill her, is it?
I don't believe so.
I mean, if it was going to kill her, she'd probably already be dead.
More than likely.
So, if we need to use that thing again, like if they get back up and come after us again, do we one of us need to get in that thing then?
It would be probably for the best, but in my past experiences, I've only had to use it one other time, and it took them quite a while to recover. So we've got, at the very least, an hour's lead on them before they can be up and operational. But by then, we should be hopefully closer to our destination and hopefully closer to shoreline, so they won't come after us as long as we follow that path.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Do you know any other things like this that are still around?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of things. The Everforge came and crafted, I mean, anything you could possibly ever dream of, the Everforge was able to produce. As for surviving pieces, I got this piece in a lucky gamble. It's the only piece that I'm aware of. I haven't heard of many others, but I'm sure if you find the right person or the right acquisitionists, they'd be able to tell you more. And we're going to Cerritos, and someone there might actually know a little bit more than we would.
That's a good point.
Definitely would be something worth looking into.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Who'd you get that from anyway?
He stops and he thinks for a moment. I won it in a card game way off the coast many years ago. I thought they were full of shit, actually. And then I won and found out that it is actually real. Very, very real. And it's mine. It has been in my possession for quite some time now. It took a little bit to figure out how to use it, but... little trial, little error. We got there.
Is there anything else we can do to help on the ship to help move things along, or just have us stay out of the way?
At this point, probably, if you can find any other repairs that need to be made, that will probably get us where we're going. We're about, and he looks at his map. He kind of gives Karn a little bit of a glare. You threw us off course. And then he looks back at his map.
Good going, Karn.
He looks back at his map. He's like, if our calculations are correct, we should be getting there roughly tomorrow morning. As long as the boat is operating at normal speed. And currently it's a little slow. So if you don't mind going around the ship and cleaning up the debris, patching holes, things like that, that would be most beneficial for us here.
Okay, well, I could certainly help trying to fix some things.
Please do. I'm going to go check on the cargo because I should have done that earlier. So go repair the holes and then just we'll call it a night, okay?
I'll see if anybody needs wounds patching up. I'm better at fixing people than I am objects.
Fair enough. All right. And then he downs the rest of his ale and hops off his massive chair. Duty calls. Have a good night. And he takes out.
So does anybody actually need healing? Like, how's everybody doing?
I'm going to see if I was fucked up. My character sheet no longer shows it, so...
I don't have any damage on my character, so... Probably good.
Hey, I actually have a lot of damage.
Yeah, me too, because, you know, the cannon blew up.
Yeah, as long as you weren't standing near that cannon that exploded, you should be fine.
If only. Shots fired, Benjamin.
No, they weren't.
So I'm going to cast Cure Wounds on both me and Heyu at third level, since I now have third level spells.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm assuming we're going to be able to get a good night's rest after this.
That's a good hopefully.
You know,
this is for Heyu.
Ah, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. And
oh, actually, that is exactly. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's exactly what you needed?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, let's see what I get. 21, not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Nope.
It actually
pretty good heal rolls.
It actually brings me exactly up to what I needed. All right, I'm back up to full health, but that was my 2 third level slots, but I think it was worth it.
Nice. All right, and the night is, it's slowly coming into night. It's been a long day. what would you guys like to do as it's getting into night? The ship still does need some repairs.
I'm just helping like with the cooking. Like, I'm sure like after everybody's finished repairing the ship, they're going to be hungry, and also offering assistance for anybody that might have been injured during the attack.
Mm-hmm. And you make you make a very hearty meal for everyone. People are kind of getting tired, a little fatigued from the durations of the day. Anyone else?
Karn's gonna, you know, help try and fix things, but if he gets some time, he's gonna try and like check out this cool magic thing that's on the ship now.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So you approach the magical item. Go ahead and roll me an Arcana check at advantage.
21.
Okay. You start kind of looking and studying this item, and there's a bunch of beautiful runes. It seems almost older than what you've been familiar with and what you've been around with. And instinctively, you grab your book. The book that you took from the library. And you hold it in your hand and you're kind of like, why did I do this? And the moment passes as soon as the book flies open by itself, still in your hand, but the cover split open and pages start flipping. And it finally stops and you're able to read. You're actually able to read the page. And there's a title at the top of the page with a picture of that item. And the title simply is Heartstopper. And then it goes into details about how the Heartstopper was a creation of the Everforge many years ago. It was an essential piece of equipment for traveling ships and has exchanged hands many times. If it's used in the correct way, it will seize all magic. Any magic silence or anything of that nature, it stops magic. And if you point it, if you know how to like direct it, it can be either a single entity that it can stop magic at or an area of effect. The runes are old. They're older than anything you've ever been familiar with. And it's an old magic. It's an old, deep magic from the world. The runes are actually there to enhance the magic. And it the way that the runes work is it pulls on an energy source, which tends to be life source or magic source from other living entities. Magic has to come from somewhere. And the way that this is set up and the way that the runes are working all together, whenever someone is in the harness itself, they are powering the machine. They are powering Heartstopper.
Karn's like, reading all this and like, oh, this would be like a great like senior thesis. Oh wait.
Poor Karn.
Yeah, he's as surprised as like he is that he's gotten all this cool information about this really cool thing as he is that this book he found opened up to the pages he needed. Yeah, I think he's not going to mess around with the book anymore while he's on the ship because he doesn't know what it's going to do.
That's so valid.
And I don't want to like burn down the ship by accident.
You're standing there with the book open in your hand thinking, okay, what comes there? I should probably put it up. It snaps closed immediately.
Okay. Thanks, book. And just like slowly puts the book back into his bag.
Fair enough. All right. Is anyone doing anything else?
I'd like to do something tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm going to go to my quarters with Otis in his bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go and I'm going to lay him out. So I'm going to carefully dump out the bag. And then I'm going to, like, lay him out, you know, the way his bones are supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to kneel down next to him, and I'm going to go, okay, Otis, let's hope this works. And so I'm like, Otis, my friend, my best friend, my only friend, Otis, please come back to me. And I keep saying it over and over again. And then I'd like to cast a spell.
Okay.
Is this how this works?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you mind if I add a little flavor to it whenever you cast it?
Please.
Okay.
All right. So you want me to cast it?
You cast it and go ahead and roll me an arcana.
Oh, God. Okay. Ooh, 20.
20. Beautiful. You're so honed in and focused on bringing Otis back. You close your eyes and you're just thinking of your friend, your dear, beloved friend, Otis. And as you're focused in on him, you feel a presence behind you, one you've never felt before.
Okay.
It's cold, but amusing. And you kind of, out of your peripheral of your mind palace, you see a tall woman in dark blue dress that just goes from all the way up to her neck down to the floor. It's just draping. It's beautiful. It's shimmering like the stars are caught in the fabrics of this tulle dress. She has pattern and long ears, and her hair is like a midnight blue. Upon her head sits a crown, an ice structured like crown. And it kind of catches you by surprise. You've never felt this presence before. And she watches you. And you kind of pause for a moment. But she gives you a little nod, encouraging. And you're able to turn your focus back into Otis. And as your love pours for Otis and bringing him back, his bones start to shake, start to twitch, and then they jump back and start slowly assembling to back to self, back together, with his one little eye gleaming. Oda stands in front of you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to see you! And then I go and I hug him.
He wraps his bony little arms around you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Otis, this is such a relief that now that I can do this. So next time you die, I can just bring you back. Isn't that cool?
Otis kind of starts like squirming and trying to push you away for a second. And then he gives you a look. And if little skeletons could shoot daggers with their looks, he would be shooting daggers at you. And you get the very strong taste that he didn't appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sorry, but like, I'm sorry you die sometimes. And it kind of got expensive for me to bring you back. So now I can do it myself.
He holds up his hands and he starts signing to you in the communication that you guys have mm-hmm. built with each other. And he signs, "Stop blowing me up, please."
Okay, buddy, I'll do my damnedest.
That's all I ask.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you, Lauren.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Is there anything else anyone else would like to do tonight? If Kyle's talking, you are muted, my dear.
No, I'm not talking.
Oh, okay, actually. Cool. I was like, oh, wait, hold on.
You go check on your beloved.
No, I feel like I fucked that up earlier, and I'm still like, I'm in my head about it. So, no.
Oh, persistence is key, my friend.
Yeah, but also, you can overdo persistence.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes distance makes the heart grow fonder. So,
perfect.
Listen, you gotta, I don't know, you try to thread the needle, right?
Yeah, no, I love it. Perfect.
All right. So you guys go to bed eventually. And in the morning, it comes. It's a nice, beautiful morning. And you guys hear seagulls and you realize you're close to shore.
Cool.
As you guys are getting to the deck and after breakfast, unless anyone wanted to do something for breakfast.
I just make sure to make a nice hearty breakfast for the crew.
Perfect. All right. So breakfast comes and you guys are able to make your way to the deck. Grunk is nowhere to be seen this morning. on deck, below deck. But as you guys make your way to the deck, you see off of the distance an island. I'm taking Sean's map that he made and bastardizing it, so to speak. And I'll post a picture of it later. But you guys come across, you see the massive island that is Cerritos ahead of you. And it is floating off in the distance. You see birds flying. You see other things flying that are a little bit bigger than birds. But as you get closer, you can see that's actually people flying. You see that there's different levels of magic. Just kind of magic is very commonly used here, and that's very apparent. It's just another part of the day of everyone's life here. And you guys are able to make it to the docks. And as you guys are getting closer, the crew is running around preparing to dock at the Cerritos Island. And is anyone doing anything to prepare?
I think Karin's just like telling people about like the stuff that he knows about the city from his time there.
Yeah.
Just like, oh yeah, and then there's like there's this really nice bar that was like near the school, and it's got like really cheap beer.
Where we go to do shots after finals.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, and so Karin, you're able to kind of introduce Cerritos to them before they even fully dock. Captain Zeth is absolutely taking lead in arranging things with the dock master to dock, to get everything unloaded, et cetera, et cetera. And while he's doing that, you're able to kind of relay, you know, Cerritos is a very magically inclined city. It is very well known for its school of magic here. There's people that come from all across the world to just learn different levels of magic. And you know that there's different levels of shops here as well that sell some more basic and uncommon, or sorry, common and uncommon levels of magic items. But the rare and artifacts, that goes directly to the school, and you have to be a member of the school to purchase anything of that nature. And you start like giving out bar recommendations. Like you said, your favorite bar was close to the college. It was the Kettle Bottom Bar, where anything could happen. Anything. But that's where you found yourself in most trouble with your friends. Yeah. And so you're able to get off the boat. And Captain Zeth and his crew start pulling out the cargo. And there is the crate that you guys were instructed to escort to the college. And Captain Zeph is able to coordinate. Someone is waiting there with words are hard. I'm so sorry. Captain Zeph is able to arrange transportation with a wagon to bring the crate up to the college. And all they need is just for you guys to go with it. He kind of looks at you guys expectantly. He's like, well, I believe this is where the exchange is going to happen. Whenever you guys are ready to leave, let me know. I know that you're supposed to be receiving a shipment as an exchange, and we can get that, and then we'll head back whenever you guys are ready.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Happy travels, friends. Stay out of trouble.
Knowing our luck, that probably won't be the case.
True.
So there is a wagon that is ready for you guys. It's got a horse hooked up to it, and it's got the crate already loaded into the wagon.
Okay. You guys ready to do this? You want to just head right over there and exchange it, or do you always want to like go and see the city first? Or there's like sites and stuff to see. I can show you around a little bit. I mean, I'm not really like a tour guide, but I can do my best. If you want to like get some food or something. No offense, Dorian, but you know, I mean, getting some other food that wasn't just like ship food might be nice.
That's fine and all, but are you sure you just want to play tour guide around here? Is like, didn't you say you have a bit of a history of this town and you just want... If I was you, I would try to get out of here as soon as possible.
Maybe you're right. He's kind of like stares off at the towards the Mage College, the name of which I just forgot.
I also forgot.
Oh yes, it's the Andros School for the Notably Arcane.
Yeah, sure. and it looms very threateningly almost in the distance, and you get a little bit of anxiety just kind of looking at it. But there it sits, waiting. And that's where we're going to end tonight's episode.
Foreboding.
Foreboding. Da, da, da.
As opposed to the last episode, which was foreboding.
Boo. Oh, boy. And you're in the mood tonight, wow. Man.
Yeah. It's been psychic damage to Ben.
Can you take away inspiration?
You owe me inspiration. Oh, God.
Okay. Okay, bye.
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 Toodles.
I bring Blanc.